Are you ready for the quantum age?
Humanity's next step in evolution?
Dream Vision 7 Radio Network invites you to the extraordinary platform of evolutionary voices for the quantum age.
Let's explore. Learn more about this upcoming age where we bridge science with spirituality.
Where potentiality meets reality.
Where we take compassion into action.
Our trailblazers and visionaries will ask the whys, the what ifs, while igniting continuous possibility.
Come along with us into an age beyond what we know today, where we can grow together in unity consciousness.
Experience evolutionary voices for the quantum age, Monday through Friday at 8 a.m. and 8 p.m. Eastern on DreamVision7Radio.com.
Welcome to Radical Transformational Leadership with Dr. Monica Sharma, heard every other Tuesday at 8 a.m. and 8 p.m. Eastern Time, and every Saturday, 6 a.m. Eastern. This is a Dream Vision 7 Radio Network production on the Evolutionary Voices for the Quantum Age platform. To learn more, go to DreamVision7Radio.com. Monica Sharma embodies the mindful and compassionate change agent the world needs now. In Radical Transformational Leadership, she offers us all a map for action and a clarion call to become the change we want to see. Monica Sharma's voice, based on experience and conviction, strengthens the case that leadership can be shaped with equality, freedom, and justice, rooted in the transformational power of human compassion. I invite you into this most powerful show with Dr. Monica Sharma.
It's wonderful to be back with you today. We will be talking about radical transformational leadership and what does it mean to be a principled game changer. And we'll apply it to a particular field, the field of business education. And you will hear our guest speaker after the first break, Professor Surya Prakash, and how he's been able to use these templates, tools, to generate new radical transformational leaders. So welcome again. So what does it mean to be a principled game changer? Typically, we think of game changers as people who innovate and through that innovation, disrupt or change a pattern. For example, before the 1970s, computers were far too big and expensive to be used by ordinary people in their homes. Since then, innovators have created the opportunity for people to use computers at home. And we can even be mobile on laptops and smartphones. This is referred to as game-changing solutions. I have redefined game-changing solutions to mean innovations and solutions that shift patterns based on universal values. Let me repeat. I have redefined game-changing solutions to mean innovations and solutions that shift patterns based on universal values. This is an extremely creative space. Being game changers requires us to weave technological solutions which shift in systems and cultural norms and embody universal values for strategic action. Simultaneously and synergistically. So it's about weaving in patterns that generate powerful transformational results. And while we practice and we grow, we walk more joyfully and buoyantly in life. It's not a heavy burden. It's not a difficult process. It's just a different process. And like anything that's different, in the beginning, it seems awkward. A participant practitioner's insight is, I am the spirit of interdependence. It's not just that I understand interdependence intellectually. So this work, being a principled game changer, being a radical transformational leader, is about moving from understanding and having an intellectual perspective about these issues to a space where we embody the values that underpin these spaces. As the principal's game changer, I am required to have criteria for the ideas and initiatives that are game changing. Because without those criteria, very often I may think that I am moving towards the space I want to move, but I'm not sure. So these criteria become like a lens for our own work, and we can craft them. When our intention is to shift disempowering norms and systems to generate new patterns as we solve problems, we sometimes assume that our efforts are game-changing. Therefore, we need to have explicit criteria. And I'll give you examples. So much of the work on education using these criteria have led to breakthrough initiatives. And today we will look at education in only one space, and that is the space of the business world and how that has impacted the world of business. And we will also see how this work can be equally powerful in communities, because this work is not an exclusive elitist space. It's the space of everybody being able to contribute towards this change. Everybody can be a principled game changer. You know, I saw a short video. It was by Annie Leonard, and it's called Story of Solutions. And she has a set of criteria, because in large-scale work, it's very hard to know whether the initiatives that we take worldwide actually make that difference. So she uses a very, very simple acronym. She says, you know, when I know whether or not a project or an idea corresponds to goal, I know whether I'm being a principled game changer. So she says G stands for more power to people. As listeners, you and I want to have more power to people, because we want everybody to be able to have a informed space for decision making, a space that's based on values. So it's not power as dominating power, it's the power that involves people, where people have a voice. We can speak, we can say what is necessary, but it's based on our way of looking at an unworkable pattern and creating more change, but not creating it for me and mine only. It is me, mine, and everyone else. So it's power to people. She says when it gives more power to people, that's a great criteria. She has another criteria. She says it opens our eyes. We get to realize that once our basic needs are met, happiness does not come from just more stuff. It comes from our purpose, our contribution, from our community, our sense of community, our sense of belonging to others, where there is no each and other, really. So it opens our eyes to the fact that our purpose, our way of being with others, contributes to the larger principled game-changing work we want to do. And what do we mean by game-changing? We mean that the rules of the situation are changed. So then she says, you know, it accounts for all costs. It's not like we externalize costs. And then she says, it lessens the wealth gap. It's about equity. And when we speak about equity, we are not talking about people giving up their wealth and redistribution. We are moving to another space. We are looking at wealth and prosperity with totally different ways. Because in the world that we have today, we've made rules of the game as if we live in scarcity, as if we don't have enough. We have enough resources, provided we know how to tap into it. And we have enough resources for all our needs, our joy, our way of life, provided it's not tagged with a kind of opulence that really is at the cost of someone else. So yes, we can work for equity in a way that we are all prosperous. You know, for me, it's essential to have explicit interdependent criteria that allow us to distinguish a game-changing solution from one that keeps the game in the same old place. And I add two criteria. For every solution I want to work with, every idea I want to work with, that's principled game-changing. First, it must be based on universal values, dignity, equity, and compassion, which really is the foundation for the systems we create, the norms we have, the cultural shifts that we must have. And I think it's implicit in the way Annie speaks. I mean, you know, she talks about lessening the wealth gap. That is equity in a way. And then second, I add that there must be transformational results where what we do and how we do it are integrated, that they are looking at transformative outputs, outcomes, and impacts. This is where I want to share what you will hear as examples. So this is a principle of large-scale change, being a principled game changer. What does it really mean? You know, we often respond to solutions, and we must. There's a problem, we respond by having a solution. But those solutions don't make a shift in the system and the norm unless we think that through and we design it to make it different. So we must design it to make it different, because if we don't, we will not be able to make the change that we wish to see. I need to be able to look at that change in a totally different architectural manner, because rules of the game are not evident. And then they must be based on values. And in a simple way, we've talked about it in the past, how do we design in a way that we are able to create a new pattern? And the simplest way we do it, we say, do you know how to design the solutions that you have on the consciousful spectrum response? And you will hear examples from Professor Surya Prakash about how he has been able to integrate this way of thinking into the education and business, as well as his service in the community. And this huge spectrum is what makes a field of change. So in the consciousful spectrum approach, we always look at solutions in a manner where we are able to shift the systems and norms that give rise to that problem. And then we don't just shift systems and norms from an ideological perspective. We shift it with an openness that's based and anchored on values that human beings care about worldwide. Human beings worldwide are conscious of their dignity, and they are able to see patterns. They see unworkable patterns, and they have a desire to solve it, provided we are able to touch our greatest assets, our compassion, our knowing that we are not separate, but we are one. It is when we think we are separate that we are unable to access the space. So being a principled game changer means that I am able to understand the rules that underpin a social norm or the rules that underpin a system. And when I can understand those rules, I can see the pattern, because we have a pattern mind. And those rules are not evident unless we talk about it, unless we make those invisible rules visible. We are not able to see them. So then, how do we notice that these are the spaces we should work on? We notice it by generating action from it. We make those invisible spaces visible by speaking about it, by breaking the silence, by not denying it, and then having our solutions from that space. So then, being a principled game changer means that I know how to design differently. I know how to design my initiatives, my ideas, my educational processes in a way that human beings are able to, participants are able to anchor themselves in their greatness, their own universal values, are able to see patterns from that space, not with rigidity, but with rigor, can see the patterns from that space because they care, because somewhere we all care. We are all connected and we care. And then they are able to craft the project, the architecture of their projects from that space. And you will hear more about it too when we stop our first segment. From the world of business education, from the world of community service. And then there's another thing we put in place. For any architecture to become a process of change, we need to be able to put some minimum strategies in place. For example, we need to have a space for people to be able to see their own greatness, rediscover their space, activate their pattern mind, look at their solutions with different lenses, and then move. And we call these spaces transformational leadership development. We can give it any name. Some people call it stewardship for new emergence. Some people call it radical transformational leadership. For now, let's call that radical transformational leadership. And it's possible to create such spaces in every setting. And we'll hear more about that too from Professor Surya Prakash. Second, we must put in place ways of accessing information. Because without information, we don't know whether we are going towards what we wish to do or we are not. For example, in the world of business, we may wish to integrate these tools and techniques and templates that cultivate the radical transformational leader in us, that nurture the radical transformational leader in us, but we need to track whether that's working or not. And we need to see whether our social entrepreneurship is generating the change we wish to see. We need to see whether the community is moving towards the results that they wish to see. So in the community example that we will take, we know that women and men from the community have stepped up and have looked at higher education. They have made a difference by making decisions in their families, in their neighborhood. They've created ways in which they are taking care of the environment in a totally different, collaborative, results-oriented way. When I do that by using information. This is what we have. This is where we wish to go. So in order that the conscious full spectrum architecture becomes reality, I need to cultivate spaces where people learn, and you will hear examples, spaces where people have information, the same space. I also need to cultivate the way in which we create the larger context of our work, the policies that we need to work with, the media involvement that we must have. So for us, this is a very important issue. The policies that we have and the media that needs to change. And so we have participants that come in and work with the entire group of stakeholders to make that change. And the fourth very important aspect of making change is our ability to support these principled game changers, the principled change makers, the risk takers. So we can call them or name them as principled game changers, principled risk takers, principled change makers. And by the word principled, we mean anchored in universal values. So when we are able to put these four things together, the architecture that we create through our educational processes, whether they are in business school or whether they lie in the world of the community, it all makes a huge difference. And we will hear more about that too. So what we've been talking about is the criteria we must have for our solutions to be large scale. And the second criteria that we need to have in order that we know that we are moving the needle where we want to go. And those are related to these operational strategies, synergistic operational strategies that allow us to move from one space to another. We will hear more about that too. And lastly, I do want to talk about the way in which we distinguish activities completed or output from the way in which these outputs shift patterns so that we are able to change the rules of the game. And we call those outcomes. In order that we accomplish goals that really matter, goals that shift systems and norms that are unworkable, we must have outcomes. And those outcomes are a combination of the solutions and the systems that we shift. So that's where I want to go. And third, we know what is just and sustainable. By just, we mean equitable. And so when we can design strategies that not only create outcomes for today, but create outcomes for the future, and they are sustained and equitable, we call those impact. That too is design, and that's the design that's included, not just for those who are working in the world of community development or community organizing. It's not just for donors and for government. It's also for the world of business. And so you will hear how these are being integrated into the world of business education. I then would want to move towards inviting you to explore ways in which you can design your ideas, your world, and see that the world of business today also is shifting. It has to shift because business is part of our society. It's not an out there phenomenon. It's not an out there group. Every businessman is a citizen, and you and I are citizens too, and they too care. So how do we activate that space? How do we transcend the profit-only mindset? How do we look at change differently? Thank you, and I will join you after the break again, along with Professor Surya Prakash.
We live in a world battling for peace, threatened with violence and inequality being justified as both means and ends, sometimes disguised, packaged, and branded differently. This self-destructive worldview is dominated and backed by spurious arguments for leadership based on the idea of supremacy of race, religion, or culture, or of money. Monica's Counter, a perspective drawn from contemporary idiom, is based on experience and conviction. It shows that leadership can be shaped with equality, freedom, justice, and where means and ends are rooted in the transformatory power of human compassion, described in her award-winning book, Radical Transformational Leadership. Let's explore this transformatory power of human compassion together. Join us for the program with Dream Vision 7 Radio Network twice a month on Tuesdays at 8 a.m. and 8 p.m. Eastern, and every Saturday at 6 a.m. Eastern. Share this information widely. Enroll people who want to make a difference. Dream Vision 7 Radio Network hosts many programs that unite humanity, sourcing our love. Are you satisfied with the world as it is today? If you're not satisfied, join us for a program to unleash your full potential with Dr. Monica Sharma, starting March 2019 in Oakland, California. It's open to all changemakers wanting to generate equitable and sustainable results for well-being. Contact 415-808-4465. That's 415-808-4465. Go to risetogetherbayarea.org/leadership. That's risetogetherbayarea.org/leadership. Everyone has the potential to be a leader, a person who creates a new future through actions in society, at home, and at work. In this program, you'll discover pathways for unleashing our human potential to create new futures through strategic action. Again, join us for a program to unleash your full potential with Dr. Monica Sharma in March 2019 in Oakland, California. Contact 415-808-4465. That's 415-808-4465. Go to risetogetherbayarea.org/leadership. That's risetogetherbayarea.org/leadership. We need new leadership capacities to face the challenges of today's world. To think differently, design strategically, and act on principles with accountability and generate results. These new capacities must be able to align principles, purpose, and practice to build a better world. Again, join us for a program to unleash your full potential with Dr. Monica Sharma in March 2019 in Oakland, California. Contact 415-808-4465. That's 415-808-4465. Go to risetogetherbayarea.org/leadership. That's risetogetherbayarea.org/leadership. Are you a game changer? Do you care about creating a vibrant future for humanity planet? If you care, you'll choose to engage in strategic action in order to transform the realities of today for generating a thriving planet. Find out how you can do this. Read the award-winning book, Radical Transformational Leadership, by Dr. Monica Sharma. This book is a systemic exploration of how to work with and transform the interlocking circumstances contributing to the complex problems we're facing. There's a chance of achieving a world that manifests peace, equity, and well-being for everyone. And this work offers the readers the creative ways and means of contributing to such a world-changing agenda.
It is my pleasure to introduce Dr. Surya Prakash, who is teaching and supervising organizational transactional analysis in a business school, the Janssen Business School. And he is committed to their mission. Their mission is to rehumanize workplaces. He's committed to make an impact in organizational policies and practices by transforming them into spaces for people to realize their full potential. And through his breakthrough initiative program, namely the developmental transactional analysis for organizations, he's getting people to work on results differently. He's opening up spaces for them to transform the way they work and the results they produce. Currently, he is the professor of organizational behavior at the Janssen School of Business and the director facilitator with the Relations Institute of Development, Coimbatore, in India. And this Relational Development Institute offers organizational development services through consultancy, training, coaching, and counseling. So, Dr. Surya Prakash, it is wonderful. Welcome.
Thank you, Monica. It's a joy having me in this program. I'm really looking forward to.
So, how would you like to share the contributions you've made so that listeners can see the power of this work in the world of business education and communities as well? What would you like to share?
Ever since I started learning these principles of stewardship with you, I found the notion of stewardship for transformation leadership opened up a totally new arena for me to explore within me and also around me. Its foundation on the inner capacity of every individual and sourcing that potential, which is rooted in universal values, gave me a refreshing perspective to all that I do. Now, in the process, I now do what I used to do all these years differently. And there are also new spaces that have opened up for me to do different things of late. To be specific, my contribution in applying stewardship in my work has been in several diverse areas. To mention a few, to start with, was one of my first breakthrough initiatives. I exposed my MBA students to the idea of inner capacity and to identify the core value they stand for. And I also invited them to experiment, to reach out to rural schools in our vicinity so that they could teach English and computers to students who didn't have access to. And I also redesigned my TA training, transaction analysis training, to include value-based transformational projects which my trainees can implement back in their workplaces. And most of these trainees are corporate managers and HR managers and so on. And I introduced recently a course on stewardship for responsible business as part of the practice-based course for my second year MBA students who want to specialize in entrepreneurship. And today, the most fulfilling project for me in my engagement with the stewardship work was translating the stewardship material in my mother tongue, the native language Tamil, which is now making this knowledge accessible to many locally, which would otherwise not be possible. And as a result of this translated material, I could be part of the faculty of the Breakthrough Initiatives on Community Service, which is taking place in Oroville, which we call the AMAPA program, where I have the privilege to witness the personal and social transformation of the participants.
Fantastic. You know, the last two points you raised are so important, Surya, because this work is profound and deep. And we know that when we have people who have translated this work in the mother tongue of participants who are not familiar with English or not proficient in English, it's made a huge difference, whether that's been Arabic or that's been Hindi or that's been Spanish or other languages. So the fact that we work this entire program in Tamil and the fact that you've been able to reach the Amma Appa program, Amma means mother and Appa means father, because that's how, you know, people in the community around Tamil Nadu speak of men and women. So I found that fascinating, and it was such a joy to be part of that process. I'd like you to, you know, it's not easy to innovate, and it's not easy to innovate based on values. You spoke about integrating this value space for your students in the work that you do on transactional analysis, in the new course that you've designed and delivered called Stewardship for Responsible Business. And it's not just values that you bring in. You also bring in a new way to look at problems through the systems and norms that people must shift. So in the challenges that you face, what would you like to share so that listeners can get an idea of what you have dealt with and can see how they can transcend it? What would you like to share?
As I said earlier, I work with the various sections of society. On the one hand, I work with my students in the college, and my clients and clientele and my trainees are corporate managers. And I also work with the community at the grassroots level. And the life issues each of them face is also different. But there is one thing which I find is quite common, and, you know, in terms of challenge that people across the spectrum face while I've been working and interacting with them, is to identify and get in touch with their inner capacity. And I find this most prevalent in corporate managers, as if I can say, they come from a space of, you know, this arrogance of expertise and commercial success that they have faced. So what I found was this work brings to them a sense of humility without losing their expertise. And once they identify the inner capacity and the universal values that they stand for, and, you know, it really leads to bringing not only just values, but also specifically ethics to the center of business decision making. And of course, there are also practical daily challenges like, you know, rural schools are deprived of basic education resources like teachers, and management courses are not based on self-growth and social responsibility and so on. And when I based my work on the conscious full spectrum approach, in fact, as I worked with my clientele, I also reframed it as the integrated organizational development framework. And I designed breakthrough initiatives to change these areas where I work with community, college, and also my corporate clients and their systems. And when I apply this, and when my clients and others that I work with, when they apply this integrated organizational development framework or the conscious full spectrum framework, it creates a level playing field for everyone to contribute, irrespective of which level of the organizational or the societal pyramid one is in. So as a result, I found of late my trainees are able to design and execute their breakthrough project successfully, and the relatively privileged business school students are contributing to the learning of the underprivileged rural school children. And currently the work in progress that I'm working on is the new course on stewardship of responsible business, which is relaunched in this academic year. And most importantly, I find corporate managers are tapping into their inner capacity while making business decisions. So this framework has really given me tools to work with and face these challenges.
Fantastic, Surya. And so for me, these are very, very important points that you make. I mean, it is so important to see a shift that you speak of from the space of what you call arrogance of expertise and commercial success to a space of humility without losing that expertise. And that this has led to bringing ethics to the center of business decision making. Would you like to give us a few examples, a practical set of examples of this?
Yeah, of course. I could share a couple of examples from my own clientele and at the community level also. These are very, if I would say, ordinary people making extraordinary things for themselves. Like a trainee of mine who is a manager in IT, information technology startup company, found that the role that he's asked to do was very different from the one that he was told when he was being hired. So he actually suffered silently for several months. Once, as part of the training work where he identified his stand, that is his inner capacity, he acted from the stand of integrity and harmony, which he was able to identify, and he made it a personal project to go and have a powerful conversation with his top management, and he redesigned his role in spite of the fear he was experiencing, especially in a culture where the power distance is high. It's not easy for someone to do this. And we could see that this could result potentially in a shift in the organization's culture itself, where we move from a high power distance towards a more equitable and people-friendly environment, which I call rehumanizing the workspace. And to give you an example from my own college with my students, as I told you, they worked with a rural school, and these rural school students started looking forward to my volunteer students going there every week so that they could learn English and computers. If you could see, to understand the context, the desktop computer that the school had was lying idle for several years, was put to use after my students went ahead and taught them. So even though my students may be very young to understand the universal values, they could really firsthand experience the power of dignity and compassion in action, which resulted in whatever they did there. And of course, I'm deeply moved and inspired by one of the participants in the AMAPA program in Oroville, where a young man from a very conservative society is working in a village to sensitize the elders on gender discrimination, equality, and sexuality among the youth. In fact, he is using sport to bring about equality among boys and girls from a very young age. And in the whole process, I find my students and my clients realize the power of small gestures in bringing big change in relationships. They experience the power of deep listening and listening to one's own background conversations in building bridges in conflict scenarios, be it at work, in the community, all these contexts.
Fantastic again, Surya. You know, to be able to see how these ways of learning apply to a corporate leader, apply to people who are working in the corporate space, apply to community members, and the breakthroughs that people bring. Because at the end of it, business too needs to be able to deal with the stereotyping, whether that's gender, whether that in India is caste, whether that is related to other dimensions of inequality, such as class. So to me, the fact that we can bring in a humility in the students that you're teaching through this process, that when they go and teach English and they go and teach computers to rural school children who have no access to such expertise, that they do so with humility, that they integrate the values, so it's not technology alone, but it's like technology driving a deeper sense of sourcing who I am. Right, Surya?
Absolutely.
Yeah, and to see that whether that is a business school student, usually coming from a more affluent family, or whether that is a youth in a village that doesn't have resources, the ability to make breakthrough changes is huge. And to see that they are dealing with the same kind of isms, classism, sexism, you know, casteism. So how we make those shifts are huge. And I wonder, Dr. Surya Prakash, what are the ways in which you do your own work differently, your current engagements? What's the growth you've noticed in yourself? Because this work is about creating spaces for growth in others, but simultaneously growing ourselves. So what have you noticed?
Yeah, that's been quite an interesting transformation in the last... when I started my career as a professor two decades ago, I worked from the space that my role was to teach, research, and publish. Even though I had some lofty ideas of transforming the lives of people and society at large, I didn't have a clue of how to go about doing this. And compounding to this ignorance was the fear of what if things go wrong. The learning stewardship and its tools have really equipped me the know-how of how to act in spite of my fear. And now I realize how growth is possible only when I stretch beyond my grasp, as you often used to say. And I'm convinced that I can dream big and execute it as well when I am sourcing my inner power from the universal values that I stand for. So as a result, even though I started with doing my usual work differently, of late I'm also exploring the possibility of doing different work in the sense of expanding my community outreach. And I've become aware of the transformational leader in me who can change my life and also inspire many others with whom I work. And I'm greatly inspired by the power of, the three principles of transformational leadership: deep listening, speaking powerfully, and shifting conversations. So by listening deeply, I'm being non-judgmental and open to the background conversations that lead to spinning stories in contrast to observing and looking at and staying with what happened. And by speaking powerfully, I am confronting incongruencies, which I would earlier ignore or turn a blind eye to. And I'm influencing change in the systems I belong to, thereby shifting conversations. So I truly believe transformational change is possible by everybody, big or small, it doesn't matter, in their own circle of influence. And of course, quite interestingly, when I act from that space, I also realize my own circle of influence expands.
Right. You know, this journey that I have been to on, I mean, like, I walk the same path. I find that it opens up the way I am. And yes, the ability to listen without judgment, the ability to speak powerfully, notice incongruence, and be able to speak not from a space of anger, but from a space that is speaking truth to power sometimes. Like you said, most cultures, authority expects compliance. And to transcend that space, it's important that we use templates, tools, and processes that allows us to do so, and to shift the conversations that change those systems. Thank you so much for sharing your experience, Professor Surya Prakash. I invite you to join us after the break to be able to summarize a few points for the listeners. So thank you.
Are you a game changer? Do you care about creating a vibrant future for humanity planet? If you care, you'll choose to engage in strategic action in order to transform the realities of today for generating a thriving planet. Find out how you can do this. Read the award-winning book, Radical Transformational Leadership, by Dr. Monica Sharma. This book is a systemic exploration of how to work with and transform the interlocking circumstances contributing to the complex problems we're facing. There's a chance of achieving a world that manifests peace, equity, and well-being for everyone. And this work offers the readers the creative ways and means of contributing to such a world-changing agenda. We live in a world battling for peace, threatened with violence and inequality being justified as both means and ends, sometimes disguised, packaged, and branded differently. This self-destructive worldview is dominated and backed by spurious arguments for leadership based on the idea of supremacy of race, religion, or culture, or of money. Monica's counter, a perspective drawn from contemporary idiom, is based on experience and conviction. It shows that leadership can be shaped with equality, freedom, justice, and where means and ends are rooted in the transformatory power of human compassion, described in her award-winning book, Radical Transformational Leadership. Let's explore this transformatory power of human compassion together. Join us for the program with Dream Vision 7 Radio Network twice a month on Tuesdays at 8 a.m. and 8 p.m. Eastern, and every Saturday at 6 a.m. Eastern. Share this information widely. Enroll people who want to make a difference. Dream Vision 7 Radio Network hosts many programs that unite humanity, sourcing our love. Are you satisfied with the world as it is today? If you're not satisfied, join us for a program to unleash your full potential with Dr. Monica Sharma, starting March 2019 in Oakland, California. It's open to all changemakers wanting to generate equitable and sustainable results for well-being. Contact 415-808-4465. That's 415-808-4465. Go to risetogetherbayarea.org/leadership. That's risetogetherbayarea.org/leadership. Everyone has the potential to be a leader, a person who creates a new future through actions in society, at home, and at work. In this program, you'll discover pathways for unleashing our human potential to create new futures through strategic action. Again, join us for a program to unleash your full potential with Dr. Monica Sharma in March 2019 in Oakland, California. Contact 415-808-4465. That's 415-808-4465. Go to risetogetherbayarea.org/leadership. That's risetogetherbayarea.org/leadership. We need new leadership capacities to face the challenges of today's world, to think differently, design strategically, and act on principles with accountability and generate results. These new capacities must be able to align principles, purpose, and practice to build a better world. Again, join us for a program to unleash your full potential with Dr. Monica Sharma in March 2019 in Oakland, California. Contact 415-808-4465. That's 415-808-4465. Go to risetogetherbayarea.org/leadership. That's risetogetherbayarea.org/leadership.
Thank you for joining us again. And Dr. Surya Prakash and I are here to be with you to share our thoughts, you know, the things that truly inspire us and keep us inspired. What would you like to have people take away from this, Surya?
I resonate the most with one thing, of course, one of the many things that you emphasize. That is, this work is not about extraordinary people doing great things. It's about ordinary people doing extraordinary things. So in order to make that happen, first, I strongly believe that acting from my stand provides a new perspective to address life issues. And the next thing is, the conscious full spectrum offers a template to scale up any breakthrough initiative in all the domains, be it business or community or education. And it has given me the courage to take transaction analysis training pan-India through the South Asian Association of Transaction Analysts, which I wouldn't have dreamt of, say, 5 years ago. And finally, something that is very close to my heart is that the person that I am is what I bring into all my roles. So personal transformation, that is, transforming myself, is the key to transforming the world. As Gandhi said, be the change you want to see in the world. And I see the stewardship tools give me a blueprint and a roadmap for how to make this change.
Yes, I too feel the same way, Surya. And, I'll go over the 3 points that you raised are very similar to how I also think. You know, if we are to do extraordinary things, make an extraordinary impact, as ordinary citizens, we can. And we can move forward and change the disempowering systems and norms that actually hold us back and hold society back, holds business back. And that it's possible to do that, rediscovering who I am, what I stand for, the universal values that include everyone, and to address this at work, in society, and at home. So this is not about a different way of being at home or a different way of being at work. And that's why I think once we practice, it makes a difference. How can we look at who we are, the universal values we hold, what we care about, as the very foundation of all our work, activating our mind, our pattern mind, from that space, rather from rigid ideology. Yes, and secondly, it's fantastic that you are designing the architecture for change differently, and that you've taken this work to scale. And so it's possible for everybody to use this template and take their work to scale. Because we use a word here, and we use the word fractal. So in physics and in nature, fractal is a pattern that repeats itself. And this work is a fractal of large-scale change. Large-scale change based on values that shifts unworkable patterns and norms in culture and solves problems that emerge today. And those problems would be different tomorrow. And that's what we want people to know and be invited to work with. And the next point that you make is that, yes, we need new blueprints. We need new blueprints for the way we plan, the way we design our courses, the way we have higher education, the way we have business education. We need to redefine that space. And the stewardship work, or, you know, radical transformational work, gives us templates, tools that we can learn and apply in the world of business. We can apply it in the world of NGO activism. We can apply it in the community. It's truly been a wonderful journey to walk with you in this space. So for me, this fractal, the fractal that we call, we named it Conscious Full Spectrum, you call it integrated business learning, or the integrated business model. You call it the integrated organizational development model. It doesn't matter what we call it. But it's actually also a prosperity fractal, because business has to do with wealth creation. It has to do with, you know, having commerce move in society. So we've looked at wealth creation as if it's a zero-sum game, as if I have more, I need to do it in a way that I exploit labor or I exploit the planet. But we know today that we have enough technology not to exploit people and not to exploit the planet. And we always have that. But somehow our mindset did not look at abundance. It looked at either or with a scarcity mindset. So, you know, prosperity is a state of being, individually and collectively, in which we manifest our full potential. We flourish and thrive. We have our basic survival needs met, but it's much more than basic survival needs. It's the ability to thrive, the vitality and contentment of self-expression at its best, the joy of being that way. Prosperity is about well-being for all, not growth only, not opulence, not luxury or comfort. It's success redefined. It creates cultural values for thriving for all instead of valuing limited opulence or money as a beacon of success. This is the prosperity fractal that Professor Surya Prakash is working with. Thank you so much for joining us.
This is Dream Vision 7 Radio Network, uniting mankind with universal love. Our shows are created from the heart, bringing each listener to a place of divine enlightenment. Breathe, relax, and enjoy. Let life flow.